Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning. Good beautiful day in New York City. Is it? Oh, yeah. Going to be in the mid-70s, I think, today.
You got on shorts, Max?
No shorts. Not in the studio, man.
You got on the capris, though. You got them rolled up, the capris.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Can't
no shorts in the studio?
This morning. I can do whatever
ain't
I want.
Nothing to see here.
Why you can't wear shorts in the studio?
Canties at the seaport? All right, let me roll these down.
You can wear shorts in the studio.
You can wear shorts
in the studio as long as
choose to do so.
It's an upper body shot. You know what I mean?
No. Sometimes they take a wide angle.
That makes you just, you know, lotion your ankles and your knees.
Just fell.
It's one of your charges. You know, you got a lot of different laptops and
well, yeah, because suddenly I get to work on Friday after the radio, computer's working fine. Max unboxing, computer's working fine because I taped it. And then comes this just in. Suddenly the internet didn't want to work, and so still not working today. And so I have this little thing. They got me something from like Radio Shack in the 80s or something. I don't know what this is.
Is Radio Shack still around?
I don't think
so. I don't think so. He said it here. I was like,
I said in the 80s.
Yeah, no, but Radio Shack, I'm like, is it still around?
I think they went bankrupt or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I haven't seen Radio Shacks in a minute. I bet you there's a few floating around somewhere in the Midwest or something like that.
Radio Shacks. Unbelievable. That's where I had to get my first computer. Try to tell my mother I wanted a computer. That's a passing fad. Had to get a disk drive. How much is a disk drive? $200. No disk drive. So I had to get a tape recorder. This is how you used to download stuff.
Yeah, they went out of business.
Tape recorder.
Oh, they went out of business.
And a magnet gun to erase the tapes.
Chapter 11, yeah.
Literally. I was erasing data from a tape recorder in my first computer.
So slick.
Yeah.
New York City slick.
Not New York City slick, just cheap.
Slick, huh? Max. Super
foundational
slick, man.
Habits.
Man, he'll try to change something on you, boy.
So quick.
I'm glad we got we keep all this stuff. It's filed away because this dude right here,
he'll
tell you in a heartbeat.
Man.
I never said that.
Who,
no,
me?
You guys tried to say, you're like, wait
key,
a minute,
who,
man.
Me?
The key, who, me?
And then when he realized, yeah, you know what? I did say that. Then he'll try to flip it without. And try to make it sound different. That's not what I meant. I meant this.
It's to my advantage. It's an inductive conversation. This is what I learned from Max, right? So as you experience more, you learn more, and the thesis then molds.
In other words, deductive thesis, here's the evidence, and in conclusion, let me restate my thesis. Inductive, which is what we do on this show, which is much better in my opinion. Start with a thesis, then you take a little trip, and you end up in a new place.
There you go. You're welcome for the ride.
A lot of tricks.
Got to be careful with all the
tricks. That's why I don't quote Key anymore because it's an NIL violation,
no,
apparently.
No, you're wrong. It's NLI.
Yeah.
He named it the other day.
Oh, NLI.
Who said it needs to be NIL?
Yeah, he changed it. But I do quote you, Jay. I said, hey, you know what? Jay will change my thinking on this subject earlier today. I do this on a show called This Just In.
What time
which
is that
you not? It's 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Not only do you not accept the invitation to appear on the show in studio.
Wait, time out. Who's been on your show more? Me or Key?
You.
Okay. So can you please start
directing
some of your...
So you actually have gone on this show, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He does it from, you know,
from the
remote, but still.
Oh, that's good, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Hopefully it works out for you.
Put a Max-splaining clock on me, by the way.
They certainly put it up above you.
That's Jerry, man.
Yeah. That's just what happens in these situations. That's good, though. I didn't know you actually have gone on the show.
I should not have all this counted to me because the other people are talking.
No, but you're still going.
So James Harden leads the 76ers to a Game 4 win. He's been huge in the only two wins of the series. I'm getting right off the Max-plating now. See that?
The clock was still going. That was great.
But he has been, Jay. He's been like, without Harden, you don't have those two wins. It's probably a sweep.
Ugh.
That was huge.
Look, man, James has been... So one guy tweeted me online, which is great. He was talking about, you know, these narratives are set by your peers. I'm like, yeah, that's why we push back on our peers through the vehicle of our show. James Harden is prolific. Mm. There's a style of basketball, though, in which James can get lost in the sauce on. And I think what we've seen over the last couple of years is the maturity level of James growing right in front of our eyes. Okay, I'll take less money. I'll do a team-friendly deal. You'll pay me on the back end, though, when I know it's going to favor me. Okay, I battled some injuries, but here I am saying when there's a tendency in late games for me to fade, that's what we saw last year when Joel Embiid was hurt. That has flipped. That has changed now. Joel Embiid is hurt. I'll get us a game on the road in game one. I'll explode for 45. Hey, James, hey, Joel, you're doing your thing for 36 points, but you're a little bit winded down the stretch. I'll carry the load and hit a big-time floater and make critical plays in the fourth quarter to keep our team in it. And, by the way, Brian Windhorst came on the show. He doesn't know what the hell Jaylen Brown is doing. I have questions on Jaylen Brown coming from the weak side for a double team, leaving James Harden open. But I'll knock down the critical three and get us a big win. Oh, I'll also get you a Rolex that says 23 MVP. And all of a sudden, this whole thing about, oh, being James Harden first, me, on the road, you're not thinking that way anymore, are you? You're thinking about James Harden as the good teammate. James Harden sacrificing for the best of the team and still giving you clutch moments when you need them the most.
I always felt, Key, that he was a team player, Harden. My only issue with Harden was not he was selfish. He scored when that's what his team needed. He became a pure point guard in Brooklyn and Philly. That's what the team needed. I never questioned his team playing kind of mentality. I questioned his ability to come through in big moments when it matters most, not by getting a call or something like that, but by hitting the shots. That's what I see he's doing right now.
Well, he's hit big shots in the past, man. Let's not. This is what Jay just started out with. The narrative by our colleagues and coworkers set narratives about one's play. He's done that in the past.
He has done here and there. Yep.
But
many times, Key, he's come up where it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, but think about the style of offense, too, Max, in which he played. It required him to do everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and you said that he's done it here and there, but at the same time, that means he's done it. He may have not done it to the level of your liking on a consistent basis, but nobody's confusing him for that, right? You're saying he needs to do more. Two wins with him scoring 40-plus. Okay, that's huge.
And hitting game winners.
Yes, we started this entire playoff by saying there's three people in Philadelphia that needs to show up. Embiid, James Harden, and Doc Rivers. And I think all three have shown up in their two wins.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. It's big. And by the way, the Celtics basically favored against everyone the entire season. Right now, Celtics can't, like, talk about a must-win game five. Celtics got one here. You're at home. Yeah. You've outplayed Philly pretty much every single game, but you're locked 2-2, as Windhorst points out.
I think I'd rather see the Sixers in the championship with the Lakers anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to put something out there. And it was one of the reasons, and I know it's going to sound a little bit harsh, but I look at Marcus Smart, who had 21 points. He had 7 assists. He had 3 turnovers the other day. But isn't there a reason that this team went after Malcolm Brogdon? Right? Didn't we see something last year in the finals where, as it related to time and situation, that wasn't necessarily the best aspect of Marcus Smart's game? Right? You love him as a passionate defender. I know Malcolm Brogdon made a critical turnover. I think it was in game one where they lost. And that was something he was, you know, crucified for to a degree. But this last possession, like, I just don't understand, like, where was the sense of urgency, Key? Like, where is the veteran, experienced team that has played together in the NBA championship that can look at time and situation and say, I got to get the ball up the court fast. Like, let's get into our set and find out what that matchup, that mismatch matchup is quicker and get into our set. Why the hell are we waiting for Jason Tatum to touch the ball with 6 seconds left to go in the game?
Well, even so, it's situational basketball at that point. You know they probably practiced this particular set play 1,000 times. So you would think just from repetition that they would be able to just, boom, get up and down the court real fast, understand where everybody needs to be on the floor, what's getting ready to happen, how the defense is getting ready to react so he could kick. I mean, you would think that that would be the case, but, you know, they ran out of time and the shot got off late. It happens. That's all you can say. It happens.
Listen, if you want to.
I don't know, man. I feel like.
You want to say Boston something about Marcus Smart, Jay?
I feel like the Boston Celtics sometimes. That's I want to believe in them because they have all the talent to win the whole thing. But there's something that feels so off with them.
So here's
don't get it.
Here's the thing about Marcus Smart. I'm glad you just said that. Sometimes you can look at a player who does a lot of good things, and maybe he doesn't have the shot or the offense that you want. So you have another player who can do that job on the team. But the problem when that guy isn't rolled into one is this with the Celtics, right? Throughout their run, they have come up with no championships with Marcus Smart, although he's the heart and soul of the team and all this kind of stuff. But he is not a great offensive player. And in some big moments, he's made some mental errors. Can they win a championship with him as the point guard?
Well, I mean, it was a shared responsibility with Malcolm Brogdon. He was on the court on the last possession, too. That's why I'm confused. Both Marcus Smart and Malcolm Brogdon were on the court. Who's looking – the first thing you're taught, Key, as a guard, is whenever I get the ball, when I turn, I face, like I'm counting to myself. I'm like, all right, there's a shot clock. We're at 24. Okay, cool. It's the first thing you think about. Like, how do we need to get the ball in the hands of the player who can make that decision as soon as possible?
Jay, when were you taught this?
I mean, I was taught this going into my freshman year of college. I mean, kids now are playing with shot clocks in high school, Key. Right? So, like, it's mentally when you're running a team, you look at time and situation. That's how you're technically, classically trained as a guard to see that. And the fact that two guards, one guard that you went out and you got to help you through a situation that you lacked last season, couldn't see that.
That's what he's there for.
Mind-boggling to me.
That's what he's there for. Yeah. Better shooter and maybe a better decision maker in those situations. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, your calls are coming up, plus Jay's game plan.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Lakers host the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. It's a must-win game for the Warriors, you'd think, or else they go down 3-1.
This lot.
Of course, LeBron's been down 3-1 on Steph in the past and came back to beat him, so maybe Steph should be held to the same standard. We'll see. Meantime.
Two down flex, man.
Jay's game plan for tonight. What you got, Jay?
What do you got, Max? I want you to give me the game plan for tonight. No. I like doing this type of stuff because I get
which game?
Our team
Jay,
involved.
It's your
which
it's
games
your,
are tonight,
it's
Max?
Your, it's your game plan. Jay.
Which games are tonight, Max?
Obviously, the two series that didn't play last night.
Which are who?
Jay, are you going to give your game plan
no,
or
Max,
not?
I'm asking you to set me up.
Obviously, the Knicks and Heat.
Let me set you up, man. I'll look at my phone and make
go
sure.
Go ahead, the
like
Knicks and Heat.
It's
well,
Miami,
because the Suns and the Nuggets just played last
it's the
night.
Knicks, it's the Lakers at Golden State, man. It wasn't a trick question, Max.
I understand, but why is he doing
so
it?
You said the game plan. I'm like, which game?
No. What Jay is doing is now is he forgot what the matchups were tonight.
I know what the matchups are.
And so he tried to put it on me.
I know what the matchups are. It's my game plan.
So do it.
I want to know which game.
Just waiting for the host to tell me which game.
Which game?
Knicks Heat start.
There you go. I love him. Max gets salty. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do off the first game plan is I'm going to bring in my ace pitcher. Stacy from Florida. Stacy,
man,
are
she
you
just owns you like that now. You just give it to her.
What I'm a coach, man. I coach to develop the right supporting cast for my game plan.
Yeah, okay?
Stacy, take me through what needs to occur tonight for Miami to get a stranglehold on this series.
Well, first of all, you know he passed it to me because Jay does what he does as a point. He gives it to the star player.
There
okay.
Exactly.
Now,
okay.
I'm going to say Miami basically has to do what they did last game. I love the defense. They kept Randle down to 10 points. And the guy that y'all been talking about forever, he scored 20 points. Their star. Bam Adebayo. He was very, I liked what I saw last game. I really liked what I saw. He looked to score, and he got the rebound, and he didn't let Julius Randle outplay him. The role players, it doesn't matter which role player shows up. It can be Vincent. It can be Martin. It can be Strus. As long as somebody shows up and give the team about 20 points. And then we're going to do the same thing we did with, Milwaukee. We're going to take it to their hometown, and we're going to show them, their fans, why we will come out of the East. Yes,
okay.
We're going to win
Stacey.
It in their home court.
Okay, Stacy. All right, Stacy, I appreciate that. That's the Heat side. Now, Nuno, give me the Knicks side real quick. Let's go.
The Knicks are in trouble. It's. I think the series is over.
Bing bong.
Yes, that bing bong. Jay, number one, they need to score more points.
By the way, you said that in game three.
But to get there, they actually have to hit their shots, which is something they haven't done.
Astute breakdown.
I mean, that does check out. You tend to score by hitting shots.
No,
they should also prevent scoring on the other end. Defense.
Yes, Max, play some defense. No, I'll be interested in seeing if they actually show some heart today.
Saturday, no heart.
I have a little more sophisticated take, Nuno. I think they should have a positive point differential per 100 possessions. The Knicks should. And if they do, I believe they'll win.
Really? No, but in all seriousness, I will like to see who – I'm interested to see who gets Quickly's minutes with the fact that he's doubtful. Does he go Derrick Rose?
Yeah.
Does he go Fournier? Where does he go?
Yeah, a lot of questions around what Tibbs decides to do. I will say this, Nuno, just to add to what you added, and I do like Stacey's breakdown on what the Heat need to do. I feel like we know what the game plan is with the Heat. They're going to try to punch the Knicks in the mouth, right? Yo, Julius Randle, what's up? Like, it's time, man. Like, if you don't be the guy, you need to be the guy. And that needs to be – I mean, obviously, Jalen Brunson, we know who he is and what he does. Didn't have a great game. I mean, 20 points on 20 shots. But, like, it's unacceptable for Julius Randle to have 10 points in the game in 38 minutes. 10 points. It's unacceptable, man. If he's going to be the guy, I mean, that's another question. And that's why I think Nuno just went to the heart thing, Yates. It's the – at the end of the day, I know Jalen Brunson brings that toughness and that IQ and that mentality. But, like, you are looking to your guy who made an all-star game to show you the heart of what this team needs to have. Like, you need it. You need it. So, that's that. And then the late game, I mean, it's a game. Look, I think you're going to see the Golden State Warriors try to pick up the tempo of the game. We're going to look for this strategy. Like I said before, like, the top lock and trail was something that the Lakers are able to do extremely well. I talked earlier before about Jared Vanderbilt guarding Draymond Green and Austin Reeves guarding Steph Curry. This way, whenever they're involved in a high pick and roll, which they were able to crucify them with last game because Draymond became like a free safety making plays around the free throw line, which opened up three-point shooting guys like JaMychal Green and company and Jordan Poole. They took that away. So now they had to put more Kevon Looney in the middle of those pick and rolls. Doesn't have the same playmaking ability as Draymond Green. We saw that with Draymond's stat line that I read earlier, which was subpar Draymond. I think you're going to see Steph coming up a quicker action into a higher pick and roll to try to get those changes to occur earlier. And I think tonight has to be a Stephen Curry game. It has to be a Stephen Curry game. LeBron James, by the way, he is going to play a lot of minutes tonight. If I'm LeBron James and the Lakers, the first three or four possessions, I am running a play to Anthony Davis. I am trying to assert him earlier in the game, establish a rhythm of him being aggressive, because this whole odd games, he disappears, even games, he disappears, odd games, he steps up. Well, last night was an odd game, right? Tonight we're back on an even game.
Probably going
to
be a
little. I want to see him be aggressive, and if the Lakers win tonight, the series is over. If the Lakers don't win tonight, it's still going to slightly favor the Golden State Warriors with the last two out of three games being at the Chase Center in San Fran.
If – two things real quick. One, if they got to take it – Golden State's got to take advantage if it's an AD down game. They got to take advantage of the down 3-1. But the other thing is, Key, I've seen LeBron come back against the Steph team down 3-1. Here Steph would have a chance to return the favor. Isn't Steph still in his prime? People just told me he's playing better than ever. Golden State was favored heading into the series.
Ain't no people. I said that.
Golden State. LeBron's past his prime. LeBron's no longer the best player in the game. Maybe Steph is.
By the way, there is still, in my opinion,
yeah,
a gap of when LeBron James is in his prime to Stephen Curry being in his prime.
I can see that. In other words,
LeBron influenced so many aspects of the game on a defensive end. Mm-hmm. He's been first team all defensive,
yep.
I think four times.
He was a great
five times.
He was a great defender.
So you factor that into like his passing ability, how many plays he
creates. I'm saying, but now he's come back to the pack a little because of age. He's 100 years old. He's played.
Jay, you don't want to hear my game plan for the Lakers?
What's your game plan
for
the Lakers?
You asked New for the Knicks. You asked Stacey for the.
I'm sorry, Key. You're right. What's your game plan for the Lake Show?
Score more points than the opponent.
Foolproof. Foolproof.
Works every time.
Works every time.
Works every
undefeated.
Time.
I don't know why people don't just follow that plan.
Undefeated. It's undefeated.
I don't know why people don't follow that plan. It's so easy. Also, if you jump out to a quick start and then keep tacking on the points and expanding your lead, and then you close strong, you win every time.
Bet you'll never see our owner take the ball.
Jenny's not saying.
Nuno's. Here's Nuno's notes.
Genie, not
Keys
Genie.
To the Knicks. They need to score more points. Genie. They need to play defense. I think, honestly, Nuno, I think the play defense and the Emmanuel Quickly thing, who's going to take up the slack, I think that's really – I think your top point is so strong, you don't even need the next two.
No, I think you needed to add it that. The fourth one I missed or didn't add, Josh Hart needs to go back to the bench. They need to go back to that rotation.
So now you're not in love with Tibbs anymore, huh?
Well, I never really was.
So you're putting in Grimes?
Yes. If he's healthy to play, you start him and you go back to that because you're missing that extra – exactly, off that bench and go from there. And Mitchell Robinson, you were great against the Cleveland. Show up.
888-SAY-ESPN. What do we think about Jay's game plan?
Call into the show, Mitchell.
Not to mention Nuno's.
Nuno's attacking you. Respond back to him on Twitter.
KJM, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are joined now by ESPN NBA reporter Nick Friedell, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, Nick?
Guys, how we doing?
What's good, Nicky?
you're covering Knicks Heat. Does this series have a sense like it is hopeless for the Knicks yet? Where are you with this, Nick?
Yeah, I came into the series thinking the Knicks were going to just wipe out the Heat because of the fact that Tibbs knew Jimmy better than anybody, and he wasn't going to let Jimmy beat him. But guys, what scares me having watched these first few games is I don't think Jalen Brunson's ankle is right. I think he's going to be out there, and he's going to give him everything that he's got, but he's just not moving the same way, and then he tweaked it at the end of Game 3, on top of the fact that this Heat team, I've been covering the league now about 15 years. Never in my life have I seen a team turn it around in this short of an amount of time. I was down here in Miami for that play-in game against Atlanta a few weeks ago, and they looked terrible. I mean, they were losing to the Bulls in the fourth quarter of the second one. Then they win, Jimmy gets rolling, and here they are. So I don't think it's completely over for the Knicks. But if they don't win tonight and Brunson's ankle still doesn't look right, I think they are in really deep trouble the rest of the way.
You know what, Nick? There's certain aspects when I watch Jimmy play. I don't believe his ankle's all the way, right? I also feel like we're at this juncture now where everybody's banged up. Everybody's nicked up. Like, it's time. What are your thoughts about Julius Randle? I mean, the other game, 38 minutes, 10 points, the lone all-star on this team. And I know Jalen Brunson should have been one. Like, what do you think about his overall performance in this playoff series and how he's dealt with injuries as well?
Jay, he's fighting through it like everybody else, and it speaks exactly to your point. Very clearly, he's not moving the same way. But to his credit, he's not using it as an excuse. The issue is that Randle just is not playing at the same high level that we saw so much from in the regular season. And we've seen the story play out in a similar fashion a couple years ago. Great in that regular season. Then they played the Hawks and it just kind of disappeared. I mean, these are the moments, no matter what you're dealing with, where you got to show up. And if you're Julius, you got to drop 25 and you've really got to help. And I think it's still within him. But guys, we all watched that game the other day, game 3. And you're like, what is going on with Randle? It was just not a factor at all. So, it's certainly part of the narrative now. It's something that he's going to have to shake. This team respects the hell out of him. They believe in him. But unless you produce on the biggest stage, you're always going to have to wonder about those questions that are going to linger now moving forward if he can't help them get through this series.
Nick, we always talk about the players on the floor and that competition. But then we go toward the sideline and we look at the coaches. In this situation, to me, it feels like Tibbs is being outcoached a little bit. When you look at game 1 and you look at game 3, game 2, they were without Jimmy Butler, so they kind of squeaked out that win. What do you see there?
Key, I'm with you. In all this time, I have never seen somebody be able to make adjustments on the fly the way Eric Spoelstra does. He's just unbelievable as far as in-game switches and knowing what he needs to do to make his team believe that they're going to win. And that's where he's great. Mentally, he has given this group the belief, alongside the unbelievable play of Jimmy, that, hey, we'll find a way. The only thing I'd say with Tibbs, on top of the fact that he's never going to change as far as leaving Randle and Brunson out in these games that have been over late in the fourth quarter now twice, and risking them getting hurt again. But what I would tell you about Tibbs is nobody studies the tape any harder. Nobody knows what they want to do. It's just that he trusts the guys that he trusts. And in these moments, I know he benched Randle at the end of that game in the Cleveland series, and it was the right move. And I do think that's a sign of growth from him dating back to the Chicago days. But you just trust Spoelstra more, being able to do what he needs to do and what his group needs from him in those moments. And I thought coming in that the Knicks had an advantage because they were deeper. But what we've seen is Spoelstra's getting guys like Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent to give him points off the bench. And he trusts them, and they are rewarding him for believing in that faith.
Nick Friedell, ESPN NBA reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Nick, last night there was a situation, obviously, during the Denver Nuggets-Phoenix Suns game in which Jokic was trying to rip the ball out of Matt Ishibia's hands. It led to a shove. Jokic was then, given a technical foul. Do you believe the actions by Tony Brothers was correct? Do you believe there should be a suspension for Jokic? Or who do you believe is actually in the wrong there?
I don't believe that there should be a suspension, Jay, but a vast majority of other fans, if Jokic is trying to rip the ball from him, they're going to go, here you go. That's it. I think Ishbia is sitting there going, no, you got to hang on there for a second. There's a lot to unpack in that moment. But the part of this is the NBA going to treat Ishbia like a fan, or are they going to treat him as the owner of a team? If you're touching a fan in any other case, I mean, everybody saw the elbow, everybody saw the flop, but if you're touching a fan, you get suspended. I mean, that's just how it goes. But if you're touching an owner who's holding on to the ball and wouldn't give it up when Jokic is trying to get it back, well, then you can understand that he got attacked in the moment and you just move forward into the next game. So I'd be really surprised if after all this you suspend Jokic, because while Jokic can't be throwing a chicken wing at anybody, Ishbia just gives the ball up and we all keep moving along with our lives. But instead, we've got this meme that will live forever of him flopping back into his chair, and Jokic has to deal with the questions that will come his way the next few days.
Yeah, let's break that down real quick, though, talking to Nick Friedel here on KJM. Nick, yes, he touched Ishbia, right? But actually, the going for the ball is fine. It's the forearm that pushes him out of the way that we're really discussing after the fact. But actually, Ishbia put his hands on Jokic's hip first. So Jokic is really just creating space, treat him as a fan or as an owner, creating space from someone who had his hands on him. I don't see where under any circumstances that would be a suspendable offense.
Max, I'm with you. I mean, if they suspend Jokic after you break down that tape from every single angle, there is going to be just an insane furor coming out of Denver, because they're going to say exactly what you did, that this guy started it, he touched our guy, he held on to the ball. I just don't see any way the NBA says, hey, we looked at all this stuff, and we're suspending Jokic. I mean, everybody could have handled it a little bit better, but given the circumstances and given how it all started, I think a lot of the issue here is going to go back to Ishbia and just kind of trying to stay out of the way next time.
Do you think the NBA, Nick, do you think the NBA will hand down a fine to Ishbia, though? He is, regardless to him being an owner, in this situation, he is an owner acting like a fan, trying to affect the outcome of a game.
Yeah, I think they might throw him a little bit of a fine, but knowing the NBA at this point, I mean, I think the best thing they can do, guys, frankly, is just to keep it all moving. Because if you issue a fine, if for whatever reason you were to suspend Jokic, all you're doing is creating the news cycle and keeping it going for another couple days. In this case, you call Ishbia if you're Adam Silver or you're Joe Dumars, and you say, hey, if that kind of situation pops up again, you can't do that. You can't touch anyone. You can't hang on to the ball. Just let it go and be done. So I'd be surprised if any kind of major fine came down, but I'd be more shocked if anything else were to happen to Jokic.
Also, Nick, you know, this is your newest owner that has came in and actually saved the franchise from what they dealt with prior to him. So I think this would be more of a conversation about learning how to act moving forward if he's ever in that situation again for Ishbia.
Jay, I think that's a perfect description. You've got to allow somebody who hadn't been in the moment before to learn what to do in that case. And again, that's better than drawing any kind of suspension or anything else after it. I mean, let's just all play the game. Jokic was awesome. KD and Booker were awesome. I can't wait to see game 5, and let's just hope there's nothing else that goes into the stands.
That is Nick Friedell, ladies and gentlemen. This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Thanks, Nick. Little bit more show, meaning your calls are coming right up on KJM.
And Jay Will on draft night.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Lots to react to from over the weekend. Lots to anticipate coming up tonight in the NBA. Dana in Richmond, you're on KJM.
They will, Keyshawn and Max.
What's cracking?
I want to ask Keyshawn, hypothetically, I'm going to play Max right quick. Hypothetically, the Lakers in Boston make it to the finals. The Lakers win. On the Lakers Mount Rushmore, Keyshawn, where would you put LeBron on that? Or do LeBron go on that Mount Rushmore? Because no. Beating the Boston in that Laker uniform is big to us. I'm a diehard Laker fan too, Key. So that's big to us. Beating Boston, and we get to beat them up with 18 championships. So that'll be big. Where you put him at, Keith?
No, he still ain't up there. He still ain't up there. It's going to stay where it's at. You can't – it's hard to get up there. It's going to be hard. It's a wrap.
Steven in Connecticut, you're on KJM.
Hold on, Keith. So you guys, Celtics, right? Lakers and Celtics are tied for the highest number of championships in the NBA at 17 apiece.
Yes, that is correct.
So if Bron wins finals MVP.
Who you taking down?
What'd you say?
Who you going to take down?
Why you got – I'm asking you.
I'm not taking anybody down.
Okay, all right. Who's up there for you right now?
We got Kobe, Magic, Kareem, and Jerry West.
Jerry West?
Man, you can't – you just can't,
yeah,
Coach
Jay. You can't. Jerry West was one of the best players ever when he played.
And one of the best general managers.
And then he's
ever.
Probably the greatest executive who ever lived in any
so
sport.
So it's like, okay. It's hard. You can't take the cap down.
No.
Can't take Magic.
Magic down.
And you
can't
take Kobe in the LA,
right,
taking Kobe down.
By the way, even Shaq says he doesn't belong on the Mount. Shaq, who has a hell of an argument to be on the Mount Rushmore, says, nah.
Yeah.
I can't grab. I'll tell you, someone else could be on the Mount Rushmore. I hate to say it. He's not even a player. Dr. Jerry Buss could be on the Lakers' Mount Rushmore.
Maybe we can get two because we're so deep.
You're so deep, by the way. How about this one? Pat Riley. You got a lot of dudes to choose from.
It's a lot of talent. But you had a lot of talent, Jay, back in your draft day. When you got drafted.
This is not a picture.
Oh, yeah, that's
this
amazing.
Is not a
when
picture.
You look at the
nope.
difference in size
nope.
between
no, no,
Jay
no,
and
Max,
Yao
no,
Ming.
No, no, no.
No wonder he went first.
On draft
not
night.
On ESPN, you were going to show it right now.
No,
look at that.
Not,
that's from draft day.
That is not me.
Jay got a slick suit on.
A picture of Muggsy Bowes. That
no,
is
that's you.
Not
that's you, Jay.
Me.
It's just taking from a distance.
No.
Look at the nose. It's a little smaller.
Yep. Not me. Not my nose. It's smaller.
Well, you know, he got elbowed in the nose a little bit in the league, and it –
expanded.
It swelled up a little bit.
Ooh, Max throwing
elbows.
Shade.
What's takes the, a nose to no one.
Yeah, it takes one to no one. not only does mine stick out, but it's
like
also
me.
Crooked.
Standing next to y'all, that didn't look like you?
That looks, no, that's not me.
That is you on, that's a picture that's, from draft
that's
night.
That's just Key getting mad on the
number
plus
one
size.
Number one and two picks.
That's just Key getting mad and trying to get back at me on the plus size Gary Coleman thing.
No,
that's
I'm not trying to get
is,
back
guys.
At you.
This is
don't try.
I'm not even the one who said it.
That's all it is, guys. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get back at you, Jay, I'll call my good friend.
I just can't believe who made baggy clothes for Yao Ming. Like, who could design? Look at the size of the jeans and the jacket. He's 7'6". How could he have baggy clothes?
Muggsy can fit in one of those jean legs right there.
100%. 100%.
Actually, Muggsy's suit, like, it fit Yao Ming. That's a big suit, big clothes back then.
Look like a smock on Muggsy. You put it on.
You know those? You know that's coming back now?
Yeah, the oversized, the baggy.
Oh, God.
It's a much more comfortable way to live.
James Harden with it walking in.
My kids had that stuff on yesterday. I'm like, what are you just shopped out of somebody's trash can?
Yeah, my daughter 90s? Been dressing like that last year or so, they walking with big oversized ripped jeans into a restaurant. Come on. No, it's a style.
Yeah, no, it's a style. It's all good, though.
Pat said Michael Jordan have to get ready because he stayed ready.
Just keep the same baggy clothes from, like, 1999.
All right, y'all better leave.
Mike. I didn't. Pat, that's you. MJ?
I'm going to keep this around just for the next cycle when it comes back around again.
Pat Costello, Officer Costello.
Just in case, I'm going to keep these clothes around.
He just never even changed out of them, Key. He just stayed with it the whole time.
Oh, God.
Steven in Connecticut. What do you got?
Steven in Connecticut.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Big fan of the show. This pointer is for Key. Key, you said something in regards to AD jersey should not be hanged in the rafters as yet. Just a little point I wanted to make. In 2009 and 2010, when the Lakers won, you got to remember that, yes, it was Gasol that was there as, you know, one of the vocal points right behind Kobe, but you got to also remember Bynum. Bynum played a big factor, and that's really what allowed the Lakers to elevate where they were championship contenders back-to-back years. So you got to look at that. Now, the reason why I say that is because, look, back in the bubble, you know, although there weren't players that matched up numbers like Bynum as that third option, but combined when the Lakers went after Howard and went after the other center, McGee, they basically held it down while AD played his role. So that allowed them to win that championship right there. So you got to look at that. But I would say after this season, if the Lakers are willing to, you know, put it all on the line and be able to desperate ball as they, you know, should, and AD continues to be a big factor, then there's a chance, yes, AD should have his jersey hanged in the rafters just because they can't win without it. It just clearly shows that. You know, game one, when they won, it was because of him. Game three, when they won, it was because of him. Game two, when they didn't win, it was because of him. So those are the key factors that shows that, yes, he should get his jersey retired if they're able to win it all this season. My last point, something for you guys to think about. LeBron.
It's like a max clock.
LeBron wants to go wherever his son is at. Something for you guys to think about. There's a chance, hey, what if the Knicks picks Bronny? You know?
Wait a minute, Steve. We're going to have to put the Steve Splain clock on. He was Steve Splaining just then.
Listen, that's my last point is, listen, what if Bronny goes to the Knicks?
We only got 10
LeBron
seconds
talked
left.
About this way back when he was in Cleveland.
Show, Steve.
My man,
Marcus Smart. Get the shot up after the clock so he thinks he won the game.
Dang, breaks it out.
My man ate the clock up.
He ate it up. And then one more thing. By the way, pot him back up. I bet you he's still talking. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. See what happens tonight. We'll react tomorrow. Boy. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.